As we just heard, as Jesus was walking with his disciples, he took a less traveled road because he had some private things to share with them. He then revealed to them that he was going to be handed over to men who would kill him, but after 3 days he would rise. They didn't understand what he was saying, but the gospel passage says they were afraid to ask him any questions regarding what he had just said. Instead, they turned their attention from him onto themselves and their own egos. When he asked them what they had been talking about, they were embarrassed to tell him. The unpleasantness of his words definitely was not something in which they wanted to be engaged in. They were in denial. They were in denial. But as painful as the reality of Jesus being put to death would be for himself and also those close to him, including the disciples, it turned out to be the greatest event in the history of the human race. He made it a means of expressing divine love for us all. It was a good thing. He transformed it. The cross was dreaded then. It was a form of capital punishment and a particularly harsh one. Certainly we have means of capital punishment today, and no one would ever think of honoring them or reverencing them. You know, a gas chamber or an electric chair or a firing squad, it would be absurd to reverence them. Yet we reverence the cross because through it, he showed us his love. It became the vehicle by which he demonstrated. He didn't just say that he loved us, he showed us. And he wasn't putting on an act, he really experienced the pain. And he's God after all. He did this because of who he is. But on that day, the disciples didn't know this, and so they chose denial. And this is what our culture does. It does not know him, and so it chooses denial over and over and over. I'm just using a couple of examples here this morning, but it's not limited to what I'm saying here. In the matter of unwanted pregnancy, for example, the reality of killing an innocent human being is denied by focusing on a woman's so-called right to choose. Sounds like a good thing. But it's usually not stated what the choice is, the choice to kill her child or not. As if anyone has the right to take innocent human life. So what is evil is denied in such a way that it is made to seem like it's a good thing. We find this in the area of sexuality even more blatantly. If one realizes in oneself a sexual attraction to members of one's own sex and doesn't want a life without sexual intimacy, the culture encourages the person to ignore the fact that one's body is not designed for such behavior. Rather than accept that there is a problem here, the culture denies it by celebrating it as normal and making it seem like a good thing. And woe to the person who questions this. But the resolution of such denial, and the only thing that really works, is what the apostles were eventually to embrace. As much as they abhor the idea of Jesus dying, with the exception of St. John, they all died such a life. They all were willing to die such a life. Something happened to them. It was difficult on the day of the Passion. They were frightened. They were afraid it was going to happen to them. And they hid, with the exception of St. John. His martyrdom was that day. He was willing to stand there, risking his life, to give comfort to the mother of Jesus. What an honor. What a beautiful vocation was his, to give comfort to the mother of Jesus and therefore giving comfort to Jesus himself. Already he was caught up in the reality of what was really happening there. So that when John went with Peter to the tomb, John waited and let Peter catch up with him because Peter was the leader. But when they went in, John says he saw and he believed. It didn't take him any time to believe because already he was into it. When one realizes who Jesus Christ is and how much he loves us, one does not live in denial. Even with the crosses that we have, whatever they may be, whether severe illness, physical or mental, or a matter of one's occupation or one's marriage or whatever it is, and how many there are, they are there to enable us to love him back, to transform this cross of ours into an act of love back to him. That's the only reason why we have them. They're not stumbling blocks, they're stepping stones. They enable us to be transformed, to be united with Christ in the love he has for us. That's why they're there, but it takes faith to appreciate this, and our culture doesn't have it. So it goes blindly along, going down a road that doesn't take them anywhere. It's futile. Our lives are meant to be replete with meaning, and they are because of him, if we choose to let him in. This is why we're here this morning. It's why we breathe every breath. He created us to live eternally with him, to love him and to know his love. It's something we don't think about nearly enough. The one thing that reminds us of it is the crucifix, not just the symbol of the cross, but Christ hanging on the cross, showing us that God loves us that much. Not something that just happened 2,000 years ago. He loves us that much right now. And so this morning, as we look at the scripture and we recognize that the disciples were no less human than we also recognize that they gave themselves unconditionally to him, holding nothing back. And we pray for the grace to imitate them. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.